Mobile.
PW2JKT.
How are you doing on this nice chilly morning?
Doing well, just hitting 85 on the way down to Anderson. Help me out with your name again. I'm awful with names, and I recognize the call sign. I know I talk to you almost every morning, and I've forgotten.
That's Andrew, and I have the exact same problem. It takes me a while. I think you're Eric, but I don't always know to be sure enough to say it out loud.
You have it right, name's Eric. So, all right, Andrew. CEN is Andrew. I got to remember that association.
Yeah, but I'm the same way. That's why I'm glad we got names on our shirts at work, because I wouldn't have to remember anybody. I mean, it takes me a little while to remember my employees.
Well, Dad, I have six people that work under me, and if you ask me to list all six of them together, I don't think I could ever do it. I have to sit down and think about them all.
46 right now, and I mean, I do good when I see them, I know their name, but, you know, there's times where they just leaves me now, and I've been working with them for 9 months.
I don't think I could ever do that. That would be, that would take me a long time to remember that many names, for sure.
In a little while, but I think I've got them down now, but like I said, even if I forget or it's just not coming to me, as long as I get them to turn around so I can see their shirt, I'll know their name.
We have ID badges that we wear for, you know, lab access and stuff like that, but, you know, people usually wear them around their waist or, you know, on their belt or something like that, and it's small print, and I just can't really, you know, you don't really just kind of want to look down all the time to try to see somebody's name, so, if I see them face-to-face, I've gotten to the point where, you know, I know, you know, a lot of them have only been working for me for a couple of months, so we're still getting there.
The fun part of being somebody that don't remember names and then having to deal with people on a day-to-day basis and get creative ways, and I know exactly what you mean. Every once in a while we'll get people that still wear badges, like they don't really have a regular shirt on, so you're trying to check who they are or something along those lines, and you know, a lot of people wear them on their waist, but it can be a pain.
Yeah, so remind me, let's see, you're on a commute this morning, right?
Work at BMW. I'm getting ready to get on 85. I always get on off of I-26. So I don't have too long a commute, so that's why I'm only on usually about 5:45, 5:50 at the latest.
Gotcha, yeah. So, I just got off 85 and exit 90. I'm going to run here to this Quick Trip in a second and get my Coke and fill up the car because I need gas. But, I commute from Shelby, so I have about a 20-minute ride just to get to 85, and I get on at 96 and take it all the way down to 27. So I've got 69 miles on 85 each way every single day that I go in. Luckily, I only go in 2 or 3 days a week, so if I had to go in all five, I'd find another job.
Yeah, that's definitely too far to do on a five-day work week, which I've known plenty of people through the years that have done it. I worked with a lady a long time ago. She lived down in Saluda, which is down towards Greenwood, right? And, I mean, every day she drove it.
Now I parked, so I'm going to run in. I'll be back in 5 minutes. This is WTU-JKT.
CEF, standing by.
JKT, back.
304 CEF.
Just sitting here waiting for the gas pump to stop. I'm at, it's amazing how fast this thing picks up.
Hey, shoot. So did you get the new car in?
I got it up Saturday. It showed up at the lot yesterday, and they're doing all the dealer prep stuff. I'm doing my financing, and the check should go out from the bank today. They should have it tomorrow, and then I can go down Saturday. I've got a U-Haul trailer rented. I'm going to go down and just tow it back with my truck.
I definitely can't wait to hear about it. That's going to be kind of neat. I mean, the only thing I worry about with EVs long-term and ham radio is there any interference. I know on our upcoming vehicles that we have that they were talking about the shielding and stuff that they try to consider to keep the interference away from the electronics.
Stop the pump, but yeah, I don't know what the interference will be like, but there's another gentleman, Ernie, who's on here in the morning pretty frequently, and he sounds fine. He doesn't have any complaints about it, so hopefully he'll be fine.
Hopefully most of that's taken into consideration. I mean, because even, you know, the car radio and stuff, I mean, that's got to be worked out. And like I said, I know it's something they plan in our upcoming vehicles, and I'm sure other manufacturers do as well.
In HF, it might be a bigger issue, but, you know, these are DC brushless motors, or it could be also synchronous motors with an inverter, but they don't run at a very high frequency, so even if they are switching, you know, like brushless motors, then the switching frequencies are so low that I don't think anything would happen with FM or digital repeaters and, you know, VHF, UHF. I think it would all mostly be especially low-band HF. And low-band HF, you know, people don't really do on the road anyway that much. I mean, sometimes 80 meters, but I think that's kind of rare.
Throw you a Tar Heel antenna on there and do some HF work while you're riding down the road. Oh, man. But that's interesting. I hadn't thought about that, but that's pretty cool.
I drained my batteries with my 12 kilowatt AM transmitter that a lot of these guys use on those things, too.
I'm going to recoup that.
Yeah, so I just realized I think I left my work badge at home. No, definitely not driving back at this point. I'll just go temporary from security when I get there.
KO4 CEF, yeah, I do the same thing. Once I get away from the house, if I forget my badge, I don't do it anymore. And which I started keeping mine in my cell phone, little folder or whatever it's called, and that way I don't forget it, because usually I've got my cell phone on me.
For you, JKT, how are you this morning?
Yep, doing well, just waiting for the frost to get off.
95 at 90, got my Coke, I got my gas, and I'm headed into work.
At Eve, right?
Friday, I mean, I was sitting on the couch yesterday asking the wife what day it was. It was just like I lost track, and I was really hoping the day was Friday.
They announced the $1.7 billion expansion and new battery plant.
Did you say that was BMW or someone else?
They're building a battery plant in Woodruff.
How about that? I hadn't seen anything official, but it was definitely that rumor about the Woodruff, and they were trying to find people to go ahead and go down there and start it once they get it going.
Well, the Germans, you know, they'll build it in 3 weeks, and it'll be operational.
And I assume they'll take all the equipment out of our current battery plant that we have on site and move it down there. And I just wonder if this is to get us ready for the newer models we have coming.
We're going to have 6 models by, I think, 2030.
We have a new battery format that they've come out with where they use these battery packs are just an array of these small cylindrical cells, and they've made cells that are much larger than typical. And they get better volumetric efficiency on the battery pack size that way. So, you know, they're probably building a plant, and I don't know, they may not move that equipment if that equipment is built to deal with the old smaller cells. They might, if this new plant using the larger cells, it may be all new stuff.
Facility, because I think our current battery plant does our PHEV batteries, you know, which is the plug-in hybrid, so. All right, gentlemen, I'll be right back. I'm going to put some diesel fuel in this truck before I go into work. That way I don't have to do it on my way home. So, KO4CF, I'll be clear for a little bit.
Hi, Andrew, WTJKT. Yeah, Ken, so, yeah, where did you get that news about the new battery plant?
TV last night, the governor was there yesterday afternoon to make the new announcement.
Probably legit then. Probably, worked out a big tax deal and everything like that to get the jobs. But I know they just built, I forget what company it was, but they just built an enormous battery plant in Georgia right along 85. Maybe it's not even done yet, but I know they've been working on it for some time. But they're supposed to be able to be manufacturing just an enormous number of batteries there.
Supposed to employ like 300 and that, so I just wondered where you're going to get the people from.
Well, doing what it's doing, there are a whole lot of people going to be unemployed soon, so they might be looking.
Did they had to move far away from the Greer plant so that you could pick from a different supply of people, I guess.
It's only, like 20 miles down 85 or something like that from Greer, isn't it?
That, but, you could pull people from 20 miles the other side that may not drive the 40 miles to get to the BMW, but I think they've about exhausted all the people here in Greer would usually work at the plant one time or another.
And, we have maybe 1,000, 1,500 people in our big distribution center off of exit 27. And I know that when, during COVID, when we were booming, because everybody was stuck at home during COVID, finishing up all their home projects and buying power tools and stuff. So, we actually had great years during COVID, and we had a really, really hard time finding people to work in the distribution center. Is it because, I don't know if people just didn't want to work or, they were getting their COVID money and just, didn't need to or something. But, yeah, it was tough. It was really tough.
I kept, I was waiting for a wonderful.
People, we're making a lot more money staying at home, so they just took them up on it.
Yeah, somebody doubled with you there at the beginning, I think.
They made all that extra money with the COVID relief and that, so they, they just took them up on it and just stayed at home.
Yeah, a lot of that, if the government gives you enough money, why do you need to work, right?
That's right. Well, what do you want to work for?
They're paying you to stay home.
Where I found it, but one time I found it, I was just, looking on the internet, random news or whatever, and there was a website that listed state by state how much money you could get from state welfare benefits, and there are some states where you can pull in over $50,000 a year in various state benefits just doing nothing and staying at home. It's unbelievable.
Yeah, I don't do nothing to get paid for it.
Somebody's paying for it, and it's probably me and you, right?
What federal government a nice new car every year?
Yeah, I heard that.
Hello, niggas.
Yeah, mobile. Yeah, how much they get you for?
I waste my time. I threw 20 in it, barely moved the needle, but I just don't like being below a quarter tank on the way home to work.
Gallons.
Got me 4 gallons. It ain't much. Like I said, it was just something quick. That way I can get to a different gas station tomorrow on my way to work.
I'm stuck in traffic again.
A little extra.
Patrick, this morning.
Good morning.
I did somebody yesterday to say that he was listening but was having a hard time with the repeater or the radio or something.
Me and that, but I know Thursday's is early day for Greer, so he's usually, on the road by now.
Everyone mentioned this, but yeah, my car came in. I'm going down on Saturday to pick it up.
That radio installed before the weekend, before Monday, right?
For Monday, it depends. I have a mag mount for the antenna that's on this car. And it would be hard to just kind of throw it in there, but with that big panoramic sunroof, I don't know if there's actually any metal up there for me to put a mag mount on.
The metal, like my X3 that I drive, you can get one of the little small MFJ makes a little bitty one. It's the magnet's probably size of a half dollar.
I have here is about 3 inches across, and it's got an NMO interface on it, and about 15 feet of coax. And I think I can make that work, but it just depends on finding that big enough metal area to provide both the metal for the mag mount and enough of a ground plane for the antenna.
Mag mount I used to run on the truck was one of those three magnets, and they had like 3 5-inch magnets on it. Man, that sucker got stuck. I'd have to take a wrench to pry it back off.
Your magnet right there.
Some really big whips.
Again.
Those triple magnet mounts are for really large whips. You know, you have the big 11-footer or something like that for HF or whatever.
Yeah, 2 meter on there, but it was like 68 inches tall, and that, so it, you know, it held it really good. Still worked good on the roof. I twanged a couple of trees with it, and it was all right until I moved it down to the edge of the hood, and then I caught it on a drive-thru and broke it.
So was that a full wave at 2 meters?
I'm looking back up. It had 3 load cells in it.
Of 4 quarter-wave antennas or something like that.
It was good. I mean, I could pick up this repeater all the way over in Florence.
We'll still be in the black hole this morning. So who knows? I see him on the map, but I don't know if that's a recent ping or not.
Got on him.
It's working. Definitely still doing that. But who knows with his receive in.
About half an hour and I don't see him in the list.
It's like 47 kilometers, which is almost 30 miles.
He's hit the state line and coming down the mountain. So if he is, he might pop on in a minute.
Which I'm really surprised. I mean, to think that I wonder what in Hendersonville picks him up. Because, I mean, has a hard time hitting the repeaters. But it's pretty impressive that he still is picked up by APRS. There's a couple big stations that can have a big, you know, a huge range, but they kind of lack in the lower areas and the valleys and stuff.
I have him on my radio here. It's yesterday afternoon, so my radio hasn't picked up a beacon from him this morning. He's reporting APRS with a phone or something.
I'm going to go ahead and tell you, it's a little funny. Trying to track the man down, see where he's at on the road.
Amateur radio.
Because she could tell if I pulled in the plant or if I'm in the parking lot. I've had her text me and ask me how my Bojangles was, if I stop at Bojangles. Oh, man. But at least I don't have to pull in the parking lot. If I forget to text her in the morning, tell her I'm at work, she don't freak out.
Dude says there's a wreck on the interstate, right?
Doesn't have a GPS lock right now.
One side I like that if I am stuck in traffic, she'll see where I'm stopped. She can tell how fast I'm going, and then I don't have to try to text and tell her I'm stuck in traffic. She can kind of figure it out for herself.
Beginning. Something about a GPS.
But I just realized that I'm not getting a GPS lock on my D710 right now.
Find out it is. What? Well, gentlemen, it is that time for me, so I need to head on in here and get ready for the 6 o'clock meeting. So hopefully I will holler at y'all this afternoon if y'all are around. And if not, hopefully tomorrow morning. KO4CEF, and I'll be clear on y'all's final. 7-3, guys.
All right, have a great day. This is W2JKT.
Enjoy that awesome meeting this morning. KN4TFW.
I've always been into APRS. Actually, not always. I got into it, I got a D710 in 2011, I think, and I hooked it up to a computer at home and started playing with it on the computer at home. I had an external GPS receiver, and it was really fun. I like it. And, sending the messages, and I don't know if you know this, but there's actually a gateway somebody set up to where you can send an APRS message to this special call sign. And with the format correct, you can send text messages to cell phones from the APRS network and then receive replies back. So that was really cool. I went on a hiking trip in May, and I was sending people text messages from my Kenwood D-74 radio, you know, to keep them, you know, up on my progress and stuff.
You didn't know that, but I just started getting into the APRS or doing anything with it here maybe about a month ago with that Anytone radio. Richard helped me get it kind of set up and that. Still kind of working with it, trying to get it figured out, but it, from my house, it's hard to hit anything.
Totally for me, you know, living in Shelby, you know, Shelby has a really big ham club, and they do a lot, and they have really good coverage with APRS in town. I think they've got a receiver up somewhere, but I can always get my package to APRS from anywhere around town.
You mind when I walk the dog in the evenings and that, but it's been so darn windy, you can't use the HD when it's windy.
Can it catch that?
HT, I can't hardly use it when it's windy with the wind blowing across the mic. You can't hardly understand it.
No problem. You know, the HTs, they don't want to spend 2 cents on a little foam barrier or anything like that or a windbreak. So you just get the whooshing of the wind all the time.
Your dog, if I see the winds blowing, I just don't even bother carrying it with me.
Yeah, cell phones used to have that problem too, but I think they've pretty much taken care of it. They've probably figured out how they can filter that out in software or something.
DFW. Yeah, you would think with the radios as expensive as they are, they would have that worked out too, right?
I think also, they are in it for a profit like everyone else. So if they think they can, if they think the customers will take it, you know, they'll. You know, not spend the money on doing that.
Man, so what was the holdup the other day with all your traffic jam down there?
Yesterday, I hit. They had something closed at Pelham Road or just south of it, and they were they closed the whole interstate temporarily to start taking up cones. And then you know they had two lanes closed and they had one lane closed, and I got caught up in that for about 25 minutes. Don't really have any set hours that I have to work, just I have to get my job done. So I rolled into the office around, I don't know, 10 till 7 or something like that.
Bad. Man, well, maybe they'll be a little bit earlier today and have them cones already up.
You're not telling me there's any delays or anything, so hopefully they're done with whatever they were doing down there. Maybe it was just a one-night thing. But, yeah, they might have been cleaning something up. Or doing some other kind of repair work on that concrete barrier wall.
That road ever since I was in high school.
In some respect, since I was a kid, like, you know, when I was growing up, we lived in New York, and we would drive down to Alabama a couple times a year to visit our extended family, and I remember when I was a kid, you know, just driving through Georgia, particularly Atlanta, it was under construction for my entire childhood, like, all the way through high school.
Yeah, me, and that was back in 78.
In 78, I was 4 years old, and, all the way through high school in the early 90s.
Really wide back then. Could have been done with it, right?
I actually learned about why they don't do that, because when I was at Georgia Tech, I knew a civil engineering student who had a co-op rotation with the Georgia DOT. And so I asked him, like, why don't they just build them wide enough to start with, and then, don't worry about it. And what he told me was that when a state goes to do one of these projects on the interstate system, they have to present a traffic study to the federal government, and the federal government will only pay to widen the road enough for that traffic study. So that's for the traffic they have today. So, you know, they can't plan ahead because the federal government won't pay for planning ahead and building more roads than is actually necessary today. There's absolutely zero forward thinking.
If the government rather pay for it twice than have to pay a little bit extra to make it right the first time.
It's when you can do it twice at three times the price. We're nuts this morning. I'm down here at, let's see, what am I coming up on? Exit 60, I think. And I don't know if everybody's just in a big hurry this morning or what, but man, it's nuts out here.
Yeah, 67. It looks like it's a little bit heavier than normal for some reason.
Definitely more traffic than I'm used to seeing at 6 o'clock. You know, usually, I guess this is about where I am at 6 o'clock. I got off at the regular time this morning and did my regular stop. So, yeah, this is definitely a little heavy this morning, I think. Not terrible, but more than usual.
I have to go out none today to pick up anything. I had to go out and get 1,600 pounds of salt for the water softener yesterday.
That softener.
For the boilers, for the steam.
I never would have thought that you have to treat the water that you use in a steam plant, but I guess it makes sense now because that stuff is going to be in the system and, you know, in contact with all the pipes and stuff, right?
And they put all kinds of chemicals in it and everything because it all keeps coming back.
What does it actually do? Does it just, like, remove minerals and stuff like that so they don't get deposited in the system or something?
I don't know. I don't know. I know, that, like, if you have one on your house, it makes, like, the soap go further. And I know we had one when I worked at an industrial laundry. It has some kind of reaction with the water because it makes, you know, all the cleaning stuff go further.
My free time Google project will be today.
Studying out what it does.
Okay, how water softeners work.
Say it's like you're filling your head with a lot of useless information, but you can never tell when you might need it.
There, I never know when you're going to need that stuff for sure. Yeah, you're headed northbound, right?
Yeah, I'm just coming up on I-26.
Passed each other a little bit ago, but yeah, I'm right about at the airport now. About 30 minutes, Google's telling me.
Usually pass by where I get on, right before I get on it.
Remind me where you work again?
Off of exit 80 at a place called Lubrizol. They make all kinds of chemicals or additives to go in other people's stuff. I mean, we make stuff for cosmetics. We make stuff to go in diapers to absorb water. We make stuff to go in antifreeze and windshield washer fluid and oils and STP and WD-40 and all kinds of stuff.
Yeah, I mean, I know all that stuff has to be made from something, so somebody has to make the ingredients, right?
We just make, you know, sometimes we just make one part of it and ship it to another plant, and then they go ahead and, you know, add the other stuff to it to make the finished product. I don't know that we make any actual finished products, you know, just stuff to go in other people's stuff. And it's, you know, tankers coming in and out all day long, or trucks and trailers that were shipping stuff over to China and over to France and stuff like that.
One second for me. I got my phone call here. I have to take WTJKT.
FW, standing by.
ID, I'm back. Sorry about that. The YL called and had some questions about dinner tonight.
It wasn't like I was going anywhere, right?
I didn't catch that.
I said it wasn't no problem. It wasn't like I was going anywhere, so I'm still like 7 or 8 miles out.
We're stuck in our morning commute routine. But yeah, just getting through the construction here at Woodruff, just a little bit north of Woodruff. I don't know what they're doing there. They've got the whole median blocked off, but yeah, no obstructions to traffic this morning so far, thank goodness.
So, on my hybrid car, what do you reckon the sport mode does to it? Just cut back on the battery use?
Sport mode actually uses more battery to put more power down when you step on it, so it probably increases the amount of current that it'll pull from the battery and send the electric motor to assist the gas motor. So the hybrids, they increase fuel mileage just by helping the gas motor during acceleration. because acceleration is when the gas motor is least efficient and uses the most fuel. So they'll use the electric motor to take some of that load off the gas engine to keep it in a more efficient operating plane. But if you put it in sport mode, it's probably just taking, you know, doing that even more to put down more power.
Go to the daughter's house in Kentucky, and I got to go through the mountains and everything. It's probably better to do that.
Yeah, fuel economy, it probably does help you to put it in sport mode and draw the battery down more. But the flip side of that is that it draws the battery down more and it has to be recharged. So that fuel will get used eventually. It's just a matter of, you know, how efficient is the gas motor running, you know, when it's on an overall basis.
Coming through the mountains here a few months back, the motor, like, really struggles. You can hear it really winding up to try to get up some hills.
I mean, maybe check the manual and see if it says anything about, you know, if sport mode really does that. But, you know, if sport mode does what I think it does, it would probably help you quite a bit to use that up in the mountains and stuff. Because, you know, the hybrids, they typically have a very small gas motor that you have to really lean into to get any power out of. So, yeah, it might help.
I'm trying it. I'd probably have to change my little dash screen to see where it's pulling power from, and that would probably help out.
Driving.
Insight.
Not before, I just forgot.
Advertised. I don't know why, but they're never advertised.
Advertise it if they sell out of it constantly.
We got this one just as COVID was, you know, ramping up right before the cars were non-existent and the prices went up. And it was the Greer lot said they could get me anything I wanted, but then this one was on the Greenville lot, so we just opted to go ahead and get it. He made the price right, so I only give 24 for it.
What, used or new?
No.
Oh, I know I paid a little north of 40 for the Bolt EUV that I'm getting on Saturday, but I mean I could have gotten a cheaper one, but I have to admit I did want some of the options like the sunroof and the Super Cruise and stuff like that. They have this Super Cruise thing that'll keep the lane and, you know, keep the distance of the car in front, and it's completely hands off, so you don't have to keep your hand on the wheel. And I think I will be nervous with that to start. It'll take me a while to learn to trust it, but it would free my hands up, you know, to do some things if I needed to, you know, paying attention to the road, of course, but, you know, if I needed to, like, mess with the climate control or mess with the stereo or something, you know, because they have these touch screens now. They don't have any knobs or buttons or anything. So you have to navigate through all these menus and stuff to do anything, so it is a bit distracting.
Right about that. No one's using your cell phone while you're driving, and then they put this big TV screen that you have to push buttons on, and, you know, it kind of defeats the purpose.
I mean, you know, making a call on a cell phone is less distracting than, you know, changing the temperature in your car in some of these systems. My parents have a Honda CR-V. And I think they have to get two or three menus deep into something just to change the temperature. There's no knob or anything like that, or no quick change on the screen. It's all menu navigation, and it's a little, you know, it's a little frightening.
This one's still got some push buttons for, like, the heat controls and some knobs for the fan and stuff like that. But the screen's about the size of an iPad.
Screen is in the. And the EUV, I think it's a 10-inch, which is, I think that's an iPad, right?
Oh, and getting back to the car where you can do hands-free, I don't think I'd like it, because this one, it, you know, sometimes it'll flash up on there and it'll tell me that I need to brake because there's something in front of me, and there's clearly nothing in front of me, you know, and I'd hate for it to jam on the brakes while I was doing 70 down the interstate in heavy traffic.
Has a Honda Accord with that, and yeah, it has actually emergency braked a couple of times on us, you know, just for nothing. You know, you get to the bottom of a hill and the road turns back up, and it sees that road turn back up and it thinks it's an obstacle and hits the brakes, and that's really unnerving.
A few times, a couple times a month coming to work, and I travel the same path. And it will do it in the same spot, but it won't do it every time in the same spot. So I don't understand what's changed.
About the road contour, something that's just like just on the edge of tripping it, and you know, maybe it does and maybe it doesn't. If it's really, really close to the margin, you know, it might or it might not trip.
It's like one spot I'm kind of coming up a little rise, and there's a sign, and I'm thinking maybe it sees that, you know, that road sign.
To know, you know, they don't release many details about the algorithms they use for that kind of thing, and nobody really audits it, and nobody really reviews it, who's outside the company, so it's really hard to say. But, you know, overall, I think the technology is getting a lot better, and, you know, in 10 more years, you know, this self-driving thing might actually be, you know, a lot more reliable and a lot more trustworthy than it is today.
Excuse me, is the little lights on your side mirrors that say you're clear of a car. They really need to open that distance up a little bit because people cut over in front of you pretty quick. And then if they cut over in front of you and you're using the, you know, the automatic mode, that sucker jams on the brakes.
Has that, and I can actually adjust it. It's got I think four settings that I can put in there for the distance I want it to look out. I have it set like, I think it's, I have mine set in the high middle one, just one short of the longest distance. So it'll pick up a car in that blind spot pretty well relative to my tolerance for, you know, lane change. So it works well, but I don't think every car really has that.
If mine has, if you can adjust that or not. I know I can adjust the distance I follow a car, but that's about it.
I have the adaptive cruise control for following, but it does have the parking sensors, and I can also adjust the distance for the parking sensors. So, yeah, I'm sure a lot of cars probably are adjustable, but, you know, a lot of people don't take the time to, you know, read the manual or go through the menus or anything like that to see what all is in there.
I've just pulled into my parking spot, so unfortunately I'm going to have to go get my party started. So I'll say 7-3s. I hope you have an awesome rest of your trip in and no delays or anything, and a safe trip back this afternoon. And I'll try to catch you tomorrow if you're riding out. KN4TFW.
All right, Ken. Best 73 to you. I hope you have a great day as well. I'm only about 10 minutes from the exit anyway, so I'll be at the office soon. Have a great day. We'll catch you later. This is W2JKT.
KO4IYC Mobile. All doing well. Listen to you guys chat on the way in, and heard the news your car is going to be here this weekend. Sounds great. I'm excited for you.
Excited too. I think they actually took delivery of it at a dealership yesterday. They're doing the dealer prep work, and my bank is sending the financing over. My bank should send the check out today overnight, so they'll have the check on Friday. And I've got a U-Haul trailer Saturday morning. I can't wait. I'm going to just drive down there with my pickup truck and load it up on the trailer and tow it back. My girlfriend was going to give me a ride, but she gets her kids back tomorrow afternoon. And, you know, with her trip to the Netherlands last week, she hasn't seen them in a while. So she's going to take Saturday to hang out with her kids, hang out with her mom, and just catch up with the family while I'm gone picking up this car. And it's about a three-hour one-way trip from Shelby over to the dealership in, where was it? Singing Pines, I think, North Carolina. It's southeast of Charlotte, east of, Rockingham somewhere. So, yeah, it should be a fun trip and a fun day.
Is that what it is? I know where you're talking about then. They're famous for their golf courses down there, I think. Well, I'm just glad to hear you're getting it, and I'm sure you're going to love it.
Roger that. I'm excited. I wasn't expecting it until the end of this month, but he called me a couple days ago and said they got a delivery date, and we can go ahead and do it. So I quick called my bank and said, hey, we need to get this done quick. And so we hurried up on the paperwork, and I think I'll have it Saturday. It's great. I can't wait, and I've got the radio ready to go in, and we'll take it from there.
Like I say, I'm excited for you. I've seen you on APRS a couple of times here lately. I actually noticed I've got a digipeater, and you're hitting it on your way to work sometimes. Or, well, maybe not on your way to work, but it looked like you were coming down this way.
And Beacon, but for some reason my D710 this morning is not getting a GPS. It has an external GPS receiver that for some reason is not picking up. It might just need to be rebooted or something, but I don't know. I'm not beaconing right now for some reason.
Look at mine. I'm not beaconing. I just don't have it turned on, but my GPS is locked. But yeah, I started playing with some SMS messages on this radio last weekend. I actually drove up to Mount Mitchell and around Lake Tahoma and up on the parkway where you have no cell reception. I was able to send and receive SMS messages up there. I was pretty impressed with that.
I'm a user of SMS GTE, and I have done the exact same thing. I was telling the gentleman, you know, the folks earlier that in May, my girlfriend and I went on a hike on the Appalachian Trail, and I took my D74 handheld and paired it with my phone, and I was able to use APRS Droid to send text messages to people back home in that whole stretch where there's no cell service. There are a couple of APRS digipeaters up there in the mountains, but no cell service. And it was really easy to get text messages out. It worked great.
Good, and you got the Kenwood handheld, so you can Bluetooth directly to that and use APRS Droid. Is that what you're saying?
That's great.
Got an Anytone and a Mobi Link that I've done that a little bit with. But it'd be nice to have a radio that supported it directly.
Shame that Kenwood discontinued all their good radios.
They thought about buying another HT for that, but you can find one of them used, but they're just way too expensive now.
Or on the used market will cost you more today than it cost new when Kenwood was selling it. I think it was like a $400 radio when Kenwood was selling it, and now if you're lucky, you can find a used one for $500 to $600.
The same is pretty much true of the D710 that we're talking on here. They went up a bunch from when I bought mine.
I've heard you can't get a D710G anywhere right now. So yeah, they've gone up a lot. I've got two of them. I've got one in my pickup truck and one in my SUV here, and this one will move over to the EUV when it comes in. And I've got a pair of old D700s at home, the prior model that does not have it has the TNC, but it does not have the APRS in it, I don't think. I can't remember if it does or not. But those are good radios, too. But everything is just ridiculous right now.
We have two of the 710Gs as well, one in the house and this one in the car. And I would like to have another one for my truck, but I don't drive it a lot, and I just can't justify it. So maybe I need to figure out where I can switch it over somehow. I haven't done that yet, though.
Down to, there's a Ham Fest in Georgia in November, I think, the Lawrenceville Ham Fest, and that's usually pretty good. I might go look for another one. I would like to have a 710G so I can not mess with these external GPS pucks that randomly don't get links. But, you know, we'll see. It's a long drive to try to buy a radio, and it's a little too far for the EUV to make it round trip, so... may decide not to, but hopefully the market will soften a little bit. Hopefully this component shortage thing will abate. I know that we are not having as many issues at work with component shortages as we were a year ago. So I think things are definitely slowing down, and I think the part shortage will probably come to an end in the next 6 to 8 months because, you know, the economy is slowing. The Fed is really killing things, so I think it'll just solve a lot of those problems.
You're right. Where I work, we're having connector problems as much as anything else, getting certain connectors for our wiring harnesses. But hopefully that's getting better and will ease off in the coming I'm at my exit here and ready to get off the interstate, but just wanted to chat with you a little bit this morning, especially since I heard you're getting the car this weekend. So I'll be looking for a report next week to see how you're doing with it, and I know you'll be enjoying it. 7-3 from KO4IYC.
Sir, it was good talking to you this morning. 73 to you as well. And yeah, you're in my neighborhood, I think. So you know, maybe sometime after I get it settled in, we'll you know, grab a pizza or something, and we can you know, compare the cars or something. But have a great day, and we'll catch you later. This is WTU JKT.